Good morning. We're so excited that you joined us this Easter morning.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my soul till I'm dead. You called my name.
Could join us here on Easter Sunday at Vineyard Community Church. And before we get started, I just wanted to just give you an idea of what's coming up here at the church. So next Sunday is what we call Creation Sunday, and we're going to do a little bit of a twist on this message. This message is going to be when the supernatural world breaks into the natural world. So I'm super excited about that. We're going to talk about when God decides or needs to break into our natural world. And there's some pretty cool stories from the Bible we'll look at. So I'm super excited about that. I hope you'll join us here online, I'm sure is where we'll be. So we'll see you next Sunday for that. Also, our Upward Soccer program, which sign-ups start here within the next few weeks. I'm praying that we can still do that. I'm hoping that we can do that. Practices start in July, so hopefully no more social distancing by then. We can all get together and play soccer. Amen? Okay, so also at the end of this service, we will be taking our offering. Obviously, we won't be doing that in person, but we'll be doing it online. This is our Easter Sunday, the big offering that this church gives the entire offering away. Everything that you give today, and even online throughout the week, this week only, goes towards the three missions that we support. So, what that means is, for $50, you can buy one or several wheelchairs to help somebody in Vietnam or Cambodia become mobile again. Henry Diani, one of our board members, oversees that missions. So for $50, you can help somebody get out of a house and become mobile and a part of society again. And then our Haiti mission, Steve Fitterer, he's also on our board. He's our church treasurer. He oversees that mission. And for $180, you can feed a child for 1 year. Steve's been down there numerous times. The company that he works with, Thompson Concrete, they have built a cafeteria, a building where children can come, get food, receive the gospel, and be taken care of. And all it costs you is $180, and you can take care of a child for 1 year. And then the other one is our Brazil water filter missions. I oversee that one. That one is near and dear to my heart. But for $195, you can purchase a water filter that will help somebody living on the rivers in the Amazon region have clean drinking water. Believe it or not, all the water there is contaminated. They can't drink it, but they do. They have to because it's all they have to survive. And they're sick from it. So sick that sometimes they die from this water. So for $195, the cool thing about this one is, not only do you get a water filter that can last 10 years or longer, but you're also, Richie has people from his church, the Vineyard Church in Portel, Brazil. He hires them from his church to make these filters, and then they have to load them all up onto his boat, big boat, and they take them into the rivers, into the Amazon communities, and they distribute them. The nearest place is about a 4-hour boat ride from his church. Well, the cost of that water filter also pays for those people to have a job. How cool is that? So listen, be in prayer. I know the Lord will speak to you today or throughout this week, whether it's Vietnam, Haiti, Brazil, or all three of them. Let's be a blessing to those around the world that are less fortunate than we are. Ways that you can give to this, you can mail in a check to the church. You can do it via bill pay with your online banking, or you can also go to our website, vineyard05.com. Up in the upper right-hand corner is the Give tab. If you click on that, you can hit the Designate tab, and you'll see these different missions on there where you can give. And then also, we have texting to give. Just check us out on Facebook throughout the week. We will be giving you an update on how to give via text, website, bill pay, or mail in a check. But again, let's be a blessing to those that could use it. Amen? All right, so I'm super excited about this message today because it's Easter Sunday, our biggest day of the year. As Christians, the crux of our faith is today, what today represents. And so when you think of the name of Jesus, there are so many different emotions that can come to mind. For instance, life-changing. Concrete evidence that he is for real. Peace, helper, confidant, confidence, boldness, or anger, angst, anxiety. Sometimes the name of Jesus brings skepticism and even just a bag of mixed emotions. There is no name under the sun that can drive up so many emotions than the name of Jesus. Why is that? Jesus has made, he's the biggest history maker for anybody that has ever walked the earth. And today represents the day that he rose from the dead. If you can find me somebody that's done that, I will listen to you. 3 days ago, 2,000 years ago, he was nailed to a cross on Friday, buried in a tomb, and then today he rose from the dead. Jesus' followers went through such a range of emotions on this weekend 2,000 years ago. I mean, think about it. He had people who traveled with him from town to town. He had an inner core group of three, Peter, James, and John. He took them to areas and places that he didn't take the others. He then had his 12 disciples. And then he had a group of other people that followed with him from town to town. They literally watched him and listened and experienced him reveal the love that God has for mankind. They saw him walk on water. They saw him feed thousands out of little. They saw him heal people of sickness and diseases. They saw him drive people, drive demons out of the lives of people. He set people free. They saw him do things that nobody has ever done until him, and nobody has ever done since. Being nailed to the cross on this day, 2,000 years ago, caught everybody except Jesus off guard because they didn't see it coming. And I'm sure that all of us can remember a time in life when something came crashing into our lives. It totally caught us off guard. Not something that was a result of decisions we made, but just crashed into our lives. And the next thing we know, we're wrapped up in a whirlwind of chaos, uncertainty. We don't know what tomorrow looks like. Kind of what we're all in the midst of right now with this virus. Think of the range of emotions that Jesus' followers went through. Again, 2,000 years ago. He was arrested on Thursday night by one of his own disciples, betrayed by one of his own close followers. So here we have bewilderment. What's happening? What do we do? He's wrongfully accused. He spends that night in an unfair trial by religious leaders who hated him. And then Friday morning, he is turned over to the Romans. He's whipped, he's beaten, he's punched, he's spit upon, he's ridiculed, he's mocked. The range of emotions his followers went through, especially his disciples on Friday: pain, suffering, agony. And then late Friday afternoon, he dies on that cross. They take him down to bury him before sunset, as was the Jewish custom. Saturday comes rolling around. What are they going through now? Loss, sadness, confusion, uncertainty. For the entire day, think about what they went through. And then comes Sunday. Sunday was a day of victory, celebration, joy. They went to the tomb that he was in just to go visit him. And the stone was rolled away, and there was an angel there that said, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said he would." They were so happy. But all of us have experienced things in life that have brought us through this range of emotions, right? Bewilderment. What is happening? I don't understand this. Loss, agony, confusion, uncertainty. And then when we see the end, when we come through the end of it, there's joy, there's celebration. But for this particular time in our lives, the entire earth is dealing with a virus. And I'm going to say it, a stupid virus that has interrupted all of our lives. Is it upsetting? It certainly is to me. I'm sure it is to you. Which, by the way, if you want my honest opinion, I've had so many discussions about this. Is this the end times? Is this God's wrath on the world? I don't think so. Personally, what I think, this is the devil wreaking havoc with God's creation, with God's people. And he wants us to be stuck in this rut of uncertainty and confusion. And he wants us to question God. But I'm holding to the fact that I believe that God has a plan throughout all of this. And when this is over with, more people will have their eyes on Jesus than they did before this virus hit. That is my hope, that is my prayer, and that is my belief with this. But in the meantime, we are all quarantined. We're supposed to stay at home. We can't go around. We have these new words that we're using, social distancing, right? Quarantine, lockdown. When will we return to normal? And what is our new normal going to look like? I don't like that phrase, new normal. I want things to be the way they were 2 months ago. But it's a reality that we have to deal with. Am I going to have a job when this is over with? Will my job still be there? What about my finances? What is this going to look like in the end? How about this one? Is this anxiety going to go away, or is it going to keep getting worse? And then the ultimate question, will I catch this virus? These are all legitimate questions, absolutely, for sure. But in times like these, I have to find my source of comfort in God's Word. I cannot trust my own range of emotions, because if I did, they would drive me into this abyss of what ifs and why. And I would be left to my own devices to try to figure out how to handle this and how to deal with it. Let's get back to the disciples on Saturday, when they were in a range of emotions of uncertainty and confusion. You know, they saw Jesus give the blind their sight back. They saw Jesus feed thousands out of nothing, walk on water, drive demons out of people, raise people from the dead. Surely he could have pulled himself down off that cross. Surely he could have not allowed this to happen. With the swipe of his hand, with the words out of his mouth, he could have stopped all of this from happening. And he absolutely could have. But can I just interject for a minute? It wasn't the nails that held Jesus to that cross. It wasn't the nails at all. It was love. Love is what kept him on that cross. His love for us. His love for me, his love for you. His love for mankind is what kept him nailed to that cross. Is what kept him going when each whip hit his back. Is what kept him going when each punch came across his face. When each person spit on him. It was his love for us that kept him going. Because he was on a mission. He knew that that his broken body on that cross is what would be able to give us healing in the future from that day forward. He knew that his innocent blood shed on that cross is what would give him the authority to forgive us of our sins. That when we call upon him from that day forward, we could receive healing from him and forgiveness of our sins and eternal life in heaven with him. Jesus was on a mission, and his mission was to pay for the sins of the world. That is why he allowed himself to be nailed to that cross. Was it unjust? Yes. Was it a mission he was on for his love for mankind? Absolutely so. And I thank him for that every day. But again, back to Saturday. The disciples didn't understand this mission. So now they're left without a leader, without a great friend, without the one they trusted most. He had all the answers for them. And not only that, when he was arrested, they fled. They abandoned him. The one they trusted most, when he needed them the most, they fled. Could you imagine that day, Saturday? Did any of them cling to the promises or the words that he taught him? Or did they point blame at each other? Where were you? You weren't even around. You were the first one to leave. Think about the conversations that took place with them on Saturday. Think about the feelings of inadequacy and, boy, did I mess up this time. We left him there to fend for himself. Jesus. I wonder if any of them actually stopped to remember the promises that Jesus gave them. There's a passage in the Gospel of John that is one of my favorites. And every time I say there's a passage in the Bible, I always follow it up with one of my favorites, because they're all my favorite. But this one here, in a time of uncertainty, in a time of what do I do, in a time of how do I get through this, I cling to this one with everything that I have. And when this virus first swept through America and through our state and our city, I had the emotions of what if. But this verse came to mind for me louder than life. Leading up to this verse, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's about to go away. And he gets a little wordy and a little confusing to them, because he's like, where I go, you cannot come, but I'll be back. And they don't know what he's talking about. They didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't know that he was getting ready to finish up his mission on this earth by giving them a life-changing private teaching of what was to come. But here's what he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Starts in verse 32. He says, indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, and it has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. He knew they were going to abandon him. He knew everything that was going to happen. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Listen to this. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus was telling his disciples, listen, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be wrongfully accused. I am going to go through so much stuff that you can't even imagine. And you are all going to be scared for your lives and flee and abandon me. But don't lose hope. Everything that's going to happen is for a purpose and a reason. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome everything that this world has to throw at you. Jesus told that to the disciples before he was crucified. Jesus also tells that to us now. There isn't a circumstance on this earth that we will go through that Jesus himself hasn't already conquered. That alone is a promise that brings me hope and good cheer. And right now, with this virus running rampant, we are all in a Saturday. And what we need to do is lean on the promises of God. When there are feelings of doubt and uncertainty, and they're going to come rushing in, lean on God's word. Because your emotions will always get the best of you. But God's word will always bring stability, comfort, peace, hope, and everything else that you need to get through. After that day of uncertainty and confusion, the disciples went to the tomb. When they went to that tomb where Jesus was buried, he wasn't there. He was alive, and he spent time with them from days after that. Sunday was a day of good cheer. Sunday was a day of victory. Our Sunday is coming. A day of victory. Some of you right now are about to receive a day of victory. You know, there's another story where Jesus had a good friend. His name was Lazarus. And Lazarus died. And Jesus, when Jesus, he had to travel to go see Lazarus. Lazarus was already buried and in a tomb. Jesus raises him from the dead. He says, Lazarus, come forth. He comes walking out of that tomb. Here's what Jesus said. I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Jesus didn't say, listen to my words, I can point you to life. Jesus didn't say, follow me, I will take you to eternal life. Jesus didn't say, listen to what I have to say, they provide eternal life. Jesus said, I am eternal life. Anyone who believes in me, anyone who puts their trust in me, anyone who says, Jesus, please come into my life, has eternal life. That's all there is to it. Our Sunday is coming. We are in a day of uncertainty, and if we believe the words of Jesus, we can bring good cheer to those around us. We should not be worried and confused, but bold and confident in knowing that Jesus already has the end planned out. He already had the end planned out 2,000 years ago. None of this caught him off guard. He knew he was going to be nailed to the cross. He knew he was going to be in a tomb. He knew that he was going to be risen from the dead by his Father in heaven. What got him through all of that? The fact that he stayed close to his Father. What's going to get us through all of this? The fact that we need to stay close to our Savior, Jesus. And then the other is this. Maybe you're watching this and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you were scrolling past this and decided to watch, and then the next thing you're sitting here thinking, I need a relationship with Jesus. I need a change, something bigger than myself. Or maybe you had a relationship with Jesus, and for whatever reason, life gets in the way, things happen, you drifted apart from him. You know, that sense of I need Jesus is not something that you're just feeling yourself that I need something better. That is Jesus himself reaching down from eternity into your life to say, I want to spend time with you too. So we're going to close with two different prayers. First, we're going to close with those who are feeling just that angst and uncertainty. And as I was preparing this message, I was really sensing that people are feeling a little bit of abandonment, just being isolated and not around people. And I really believe that God wants to give you good cheer. God wants you to know that your Sunday is coming. So we'll pray for that, and then we'll pray for the second group of people. And if you say this prayer with me, or if this prayer, if this ministry time speaks to you, let us know. Message us on Facebook. There's only two people that run our Facebook account, our social media person and myself, who answer those messages. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what God has done in your life on this Easter Sunday. And if you said this prayer of salvation with me here in a little bit, let me know. And if you would like some more information, we have some information here at the church we usually give out to people. We'll mail that to you. Amen? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just ask right now in your name that you would touch those, Lord God, who are struggling in the midst of this pandemic, of this virus, of this Saturday in life that we're going through. I ask right now that you would drive away these feelings of isolation and abandonment, these feelings of what if, these emotions that are overriding, God, and as the emotional roller coaster gets bigger, Jesus is getting smaller. God, I ask that we just shift our focus a little bit so that Jesus gets bigger and the emotions and the virus and the things that we're dealing with get smaller, so that you will have that good cheer that Jesus was talking about. Amen? All right, so the second group of people are those who feel like you need something bigger than yourself, and that's Jesus. There's a passage in the book of Romans that says this: if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, my four favorite words end that verse. It says this: then you shall be saved. It's that simple. You just believe and say it. That's all there is to it. And you can have eternal life in heaven with Jesus. So listen, just repeat this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for reaching into my life. I thank you for getting my attention. And I want to ask you into my life right now. I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins and to help me become the person that you created me to be. I thank you, Jesus, for taking the time to get my attention today. And I thank you for being with me for the rest of my days. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so listen, again, if you said that prayer, message us. Let us know that you said that prayer, and I will continue to pray for you. And I'm so thankful and happy that you now have a newfound faith and life with Jesus. Amen? Okay, so now is the time where we would take our offering here to church. I have with me, you know, throughout the year in our children's department, we take an offering every Sunday, but the kids that bring their money put it in this bucket, and this bucket represents all the money that the children at Vineyard Community Church give to our foreign missions, Brazil, Haiti, and Vietnam. And this is all their money right here. So I just wanted to show that to you, just to let you know that we are so thankful for the children that give to this and the understanding that they have that they are helping make a life better around the world. And so what I want to do is I just want to thank you. Lord, I want to pray for our offering right now. I want to pray for those who are giving in all the various methods. God, I ask that you would bless the Easter offering today. I ask, dear Jesus, that you would bless those who are giving via bill pay, online at vineyard05.com, or even through texting, even mailing in their check, Lord God. I thank you for that. And I know, we know here at Vineyard Community Church that this is a unique time to be asking for an offering like this. But we're doing this because we believe that we can be a blessing and we can see a miracle of God take place right now. Amen. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name, may this offering be blessed. Thank you for joining us here for this Easter Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you and we'll see you next Sunday.
Symphony of mine. your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. And I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change.
Down by the love of the night.
Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. We love you. Be blessed.